But yeah, I'm really excited. I'm excited to be here today. We have new members being prayed in. We have baptisms today. It's just beautiful to see what God's doing here in Oatsorn. So I'm glad that Stefan invited me out today to be here for what God's doing here today. And he invited me out here a few weeks ago, and when he did so, I started praying. I started asking the Lord, what message do you want me to share with Josh Jen Oatsorn when I come here to preach? And he highlighted a topic that he's been stirring in my own heart, that he's been working into me this year. And some of the things I'm going to share with you, I've been applying them personally in my life, and what he's been doing in my heart, in my mind, in my life as I've done so, it's been absolutely beautiful. And I'm excited to share them with you because, like Stefan said, it's the end of the year. And I realize that a lot of you are tired. You're looking forward to getting a break. Maybe you're looking forward to getting away and going somewhere and just having some fun, some family time. And those things are great. We need those things in life. But Stefan hit a very key point. Rest isn't a physical thing. Rest is a person. It's a spiritual condition. And if you apply the things that I'm going to talk about today, it's going to make a massive difference between whether or not you actually come back rested. Because I've learned in my life, I can stop doing things. I can stop doing work. I can stop doing the activities. And when I start again, I'm more tired than when I started the break. So we have to rest well. And I want to give you some practical tools to do that today. And these apply to you whether, you know, maybe you're being baptized today. Maybe you recently made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. You know, it applies to you in that condition. But it also applies to you if you've been walking with the Lord for years and years. Because sometimes we can almost get too comfortable. The Revelation says we can get lukewarm. We can forget our first love. And one example is in Luke 22, where we can take for granted that we're following the Lord well. And we see in Luke 22, verse 31, this is at the Last Supper. So Jesus is having the Last Supper with the disciples. And he speaks to Peter. He says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But he replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." And we may use different words, but I think a lot of times we sound like Peter. Like, "Lord, anything, anywhere, anytime." Like, Jesus is my Lord, and that should mean that we obey his word. We listen to the Holy Spirit. We submit ourselves to Stefan and leadership. We seek his kingdom and his righteousness first before all the other things. And we can sound like Peter, but do our lives actually reflect that? Jesus, your Lord, but do our lives, our actions, our words, do they reflect that? Would we really follow him to prison and to death? And Jesus knew Peter's heart. Verse 34, Jesus answered Peter and said, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." We know that Peter did exactly that. You see, God knows our hearts. He knows our minds. And I pray for each and every one of you that same prayer that Jesus had, that your faith may not fail. And that if the Lord shows you that you have turned away from him and his commands, like Peter did, that you'll also turn back, like Peter did. And the topic I want to share with you this morning to help you in your walk, to help you in your faith, to help you turn back when necessary, is engaging the Word of God, engaging Scripture. And I want to look very practically at what does it look like to engage the Word of God. And realize first that I'm not talking about just opening your Bible. I'm not talking about just reading your Bible. It's so much more than that. And one of the ways the Lord began speaking to me about this topic is when I heard about this group of teenagers in China, about 1,600 teenagers working in the fields in China. And I heard that these 1,600 teenagers had memorized the entire New Testament. Not a verse, not a passage, not a chapter, not even a book of the Bible. They had memorized the entire New Testament. And when I first heard that, man, it just convicted me to the core. You see, things are different in China than they are here, than they are in the U.S. The government is monitoring people. They're looking at Christians. They'll come. If they know you have a Bible, they will come and take your Bible as fast as someone is able to smuggle it into the country and sneak it to you. So much so that if you actually get your hands on one page of the Bible, you will memorize it as fast as you can before someone takes it away. I mean, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? So I hear that these teenagers have memorized the entire New Testament, and I realize that I'm missing the mark in my life. And you might say, well, Pete, you're being hard on yourself. That's not normal. That's just, I mean, good for them. That's not normal. But I know I'm missing the mark because I open the Word of God. And I open to Psalm 1. And I read Psalm 1. It says, blessed, Psalm 1, 1 through 3, it says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. And we have the words come about that, about prospering in the Lord, and I want to be that person we see in verse 3. I want to prosper in the Lord. Not some fleshly prospering where I'm chasing after earthly possessions that are just going to die away, but prospering in the Lord, bearing godly fruit in my life, impacting souls, making disciples, advancing the kingdom, leading people to Jesus. I want to be that person prospering in the Lord. But if I want to be that person, I need to look at verses 1 and 2 and see, what does that person look like? What are they doing? And what are they not doing? And in verse 1, the first thing I see is that this person isn't walking in step with the wicked. They're not standing in the way that sinners take. They're not sitting in the company of mockers. And it's that idea that if I'm truly following Christ as my Lord and Savior, my actions, my words will not reflect what the rest of the world look like. If I'm merely saying I am a Christian, but everything else about me looks like the rest of the world, I don't look like this person who's prospering in the Lord. The second thing I see is in verse 2 is that this person delights in the law of the Lord. They delight in the law of the Lord. So I have to ask myself, if I want to be this blessed person prospering in the Lord, am I delighting in the law of the Lord? Or am I just reading it? Am I just getting through my quiet time? Am I delighting in the law of the Lord? And lastly, I see that this person who's blessed, who's prospering, who's bearing fruit in their life. In verse 3, I see that this person meditates on his law day and night. They meditate on his law day and night. And here's the thing. It's very difficult to meditate on something that you haven't memorized and committed to memory. You can't truly meditate on it unless you're walking through your life like this, whether it be your Bible or your Bible app even, unless you're walking like this, literally keeping it in front of you. If you haven't committed it to memory, you can't meditate on it day and night. So when the Lord revealed this to me, the first thing I did is I repented. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. It's very clear that you want me to do this, and I haven't done that. And I asked for his forgiveness, and I accepted his grace for what Christ did on the cross for me. But then I also asked him for the strength to obey. And I started memorizing scripture. And I've got this little app on my phone that helps me in the process, and it says that I've memorized 79 verses so far, and maybe at some point I'll get to the point where I do memorize the whole New Testament. But what I have experienced so far is that as I've reviewed these verses in my mind throughout the day, in the morning, at night, the Holy Spirit has been bringing them to life, literally to life in my heart and my mind and my life in such a beautiful way. It's been incredible. And it shouldn't be surprising because we see in Hebrews 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attributes of the heart. So the word is, it's literally alive and active. A supernatural work takes place when we engage with the word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when I talk about memorizing scripture, a common question I get is, well, where do I start? What verse, what passage do I choose to start? And my answer to that is, just start somewhere. Just start somewhere. And why do I say that? It's because we look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. And we see that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And Stefan's very knowledgeable in the Greek, so correct me if I'm wrong here, but I did my research on that word all. And in the original language, that word actually means all. Am I right? All scripture. And that's why it doesn't matter where you start, but we have to start somewhere. All scripture is God-breathed, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And what that means is it's very important to us because it shows us the proper way, the way that God wants us to both think and to act. This is where he shows us his way. So if we're following him, if he's our Lord, this is the way that we should be thinking and acting, and he reveals that to us through his word. And we see at the end of that verse that the outcome of engaging scripture is that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And the servant of God is each and every one of us. We're called 4:12 because of Ephesians 4:12, a priesthood of saints, equipping the saints and bringing them to a place of maturity in the Lord. And we need each and every servant of God here in Josh Jen Oatsorn thoroughly equipped for the good works that God planned in advance for you to do. Because Ephesians 2:10, we read that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. But do you realize that? Do you realize that God prepared good works for you to do? And he prepared good works for you to do. And he prepared good works for you to do. Each and every one of us, he's prepared good works for us to do in Christ Jesus, in our relationship with him. But we have to be engaging with scripture to allow it to shape and guide our thoughts and actions so we can be thoroughly equipped to do so. There is a well-known pastor in the U.S. that God put it on his heart to take the book of 1 John. It's 5 chapters long. And he put it on his heart to read the book of 1 John every day for 30 days. So Monday he read 1 John. Tuesday he read 1 John. Wednesday he read 1 John. He has kept reading the same book over and over again for 30 days. When he was done, he said one of the most amazing things. He said, after 30 days of reading this same book, he felt like he was just starting to skim the surface of what was in that book. So he actually read it again for another 30 days. And it's beautiful because that approach is so different than the way we approach things in the Western world. We have this mindset of let's get this thing done so we can just move on to the next thing. The thought of going backwards, it can almost like trigger something inside of us. And there's a lot of Christians that are doing their daily devotional, their daily reading plan. Maybe they have the Bible app and they're opening up and they complete their daily devotional and they get their green check marks. And I used to be one of those people. I'll be honest with you, not every day. There were some days where the day just got away from me and I didn't get my green check marks. But that actually made me more hungry the next day to get that green check mark, which was almost telling me, like, well done, you've read your daily reading plan. And the app now even has a feature called Streak, where it tells you how many days in a row you've opened your Bible. It doesn't matter how long you stay in it or you've read it, but if you launch your Bible app, it'll tell you you've opened your app for 11 days, like fireworks go off, just celebrating, congratulations. And I get what they're trying to do, but I think we've lowered the standard for what God actually wants from us in engaging his word. Because even with a good heart and with good intentions, the goal can quickly become just about completing the task, getting through it, getting your well done check mark, and extending your streak, rather than what it was originally intended to be about in the first place, which was to encounter God in His Word, to get to know Him better, to hear His voice through the Word, to become more like Him and to follow Him. We can lose sight of that. And if we do, we'll just close our devotional book, we'll close our Bible app, and we'll continue our day. And literally, minutes, if not moments later, we've forgotten everything that we've just read. And James talks about this in James chapter 1, starting in verse 22. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." If you went to the 412 conference in September, or if you've watched the recordings that are now online, Mike Dofe gave a very powerful message about falling away and finishing strong. And God warns us in many places in the Bible about watching out for the dangers, lest you fall away. And if we say that our love will never grow cold, we don't understand. Like Satan, he can set us up by becoming almost self-confident in ourselves. We can be naive if we say that. Greater men than myself certainly have fallen. And one of the scriptures Mike shared where we see this concept of drifting away is in Hebrews. It's chapter 2, verse 1. And the writer writes, "We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away." And there is a current in this world, a current of this culture, and it's taking you a certain direction. And believe me, it's not automatically taking you closer to biblical truth and becoming more like Christ. The world, the news, and the media is constantly telling you what you should think, what you should believe, and how you should behave. And be very clear, little to none of what they are telling you is biblical. And for this reason, the writer here is telling us we must pay the most careful attention to what we've heard, which in our case is the Word of God. It's the gospel. But also be very clear, he's not saying make sure you've heard it. Because all the recipients of the letter of Hebrews, they've already heard the gospel message. You know, in our case today, you might say, "Well, Pete, I've actually read the entire Bible. I'm good. I've read it all." Be clear, the writer here in Hebrews isn't saying that either. He's not saying just reading the entire Bible. He's saying we must pay most careful attention to what we've heard. Back in that verse in James, James said to look intently into it. It actually means to literally to stoop over the word, to look intently into the word. And that means spending time with the Lord in the word, going beyond just reading it, but rather memorizing it, meditating on it, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to you from it, and asking God, "How do you want me personally to respond to this truth that you revealed to me today?" Do you have an unhurried, and the key word here is unhurried, do you have an unhurried period of devotional time with the Lord, where you're looking intently into and paying the most careful attention to what He's given us, His Word? Do you have that time with Him? Because Mike shared a very sobering statistic at that message at the conference of a study that was done of 246 men that were in full-time ministry. that showed all the characteristics of being true faithful followers of Christ who had fallen because of moral failure. And each and every one of these men, when they were spoken to later, when they were asked about their lives later down the road, they all admitted that they had all but ceased having a daily time of personal prayer, Bible reading, and worship. They'd all but ceased. And if it could happen to 246 church leaders in this study, do you think it could happen to me or you? It's massively important that we are devoted to engaging God through His Word. And I don't want to take for granted that each and every one of you knows what it looks like to engage the Word beyond just reading it. So I do want to share with you just a practical way you can do so. Be very clear, it's about a principle and a person, not a system or a method. So if you already have your own method, great. But if you don't, I want to encourage you to use what I'm going to share with you right now to engage the Word. And the acronym is HEAR, the HEAR method. You can think about hearing from the Lord. So as you begin to read the Word, say you're reading Matthew chapter 1. You have a piece of paper or you have a journal next to you. You begin, you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to you in the Word as you begin to read. And the first step is H. And H stands for highlight. So as you read Matthew chapter 1 or whatever you're reading, you ask the Holy Spirit to highlight something that He wants to stand out for you. So as you're reading chapter 1, maybe verse 5 or verse 6, it almost jumps off the page, or you feel the Lord really just speaking strongly about that one to you. And you jot that down. So what is the Lord highlighting to you? And if nothing stands out to you, read it again. The Word's alive and active. Continue reading. Stoop in it. Look intently into the Word until He highlights something that He wants to show you. So H is highlight. And you jot down, what are those verses? Maybe it's a verse. Maybe it's a passage. Maybe it's even a word. But what is it the Lord highlights to you as you're reading His Word? The second step, the E, is for explain. Explain. And this is where you actually explain what's happening in the context of that chapter. And you ask questions like, who is the author here? Who's writing this? Who's the audience? What's been happening before and after in that chapter or in that book? Because it's very important that we don't just take a verse and make it mean whatever we want to mean for our life. Because the text can never mean what it wasn't originally intended to mean. And this part, some of you may do this naturally and easily. You may have commentaries and things like that. But if this is new to you, there's simple practical tools that can help you. A study Bible is a great one. They have actually free versions of that online if you don't have one physically. Also, on YouTube, there's a nonprofit called The Bible Project. And they have these animated, about 10-minute summary videos that show you the context of each book of the Bible called the Read Scripture series. So if you type in Bible Project, Book of Matthew, you'll see a really well-done 9-minute summary giving you the context of Matthew in the context of the entire Bible. So those are great places you can start. But that second step is actually to explain what's happening in that passage the Holy Spirit highlighted to you. The third step, the A, it stands for apply. So after you've looked at it, the context, you need to ask, God, how does this apply to my life? How do you want me to apply this to my life? If there's a command to be obeyed, we obey it. If there's a promise to be embraced, we claim it. If there's a warning to be followed, we heed it. And this is a very important part because I think sometimes, even in our hunger for the Lord, we can get caught up in this place of just chasing more information. We're looking for the next great pastor who I don't know is coming here next week, but he's very good. We're looking for the next great sermon, the next great podcast, the next great teaching, the next great book. And we're just looking to constantly consume more and more information. And the Lord is just saying, I want you to worship me through your obedience by applying and doing the last thing I showed you. That's all I want you to do. Worship me by actually applying the one thing I showed you most recently. I've heard that the biggest gap for Christians isn't between what they know or don't know in this word. The biggest gap is between what they already know and what they're actually doing or applying in their lives. We have to apply what God is showing us. What is the last thing the Holy Spirit asked you to do personally? Maybe it's to forgive your neighbor. Maybe it's to set a standard with your speech, with the way that you speak about others. But what is the last thing the Holy Spirit asked you to do? And then have you been obedient and done that thing? That's what he wants from us. And that leads into that last step. The last step, the R, it stands for respond. So after God has highlighted this verse, he's shown you how he wants you to apply it to your life. Now the step is to respond, and that could look a lot of different ways. It could be journaling out a commitment to take action. Like, yeah, I'm going to go forgive that person when I see them on Sunday. I commit to do that on Sunday, or the next time I see them, I'll go forgive them. It could be a prayer of repentance, like, Lord, forgive me. You show me where I've been missing the mark. Forgive me. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for what Christ did for me. Help me to obey moving forward. It could be a prayer of repentance. It could be a prayer of praising the Lord. He may just reveal an attribute of himself that just makes you, just blows your mind. You're just like, oh, God, you are so incredible. And you just praise him. Your response might just be praising him because he's revealed more of himself to you. But responding based on what you feel the Holy Spirit is asking you to do in light of the scripture that he highlighted to you. And this is the ultimate step. We must be submitting to scripture and letting it renew our minds and transform our lives.